Good afternoon, everyone. This is David Corus, board chair at 12:01 p.m. I'm going to do a roll call in no particular order. Brian Thompson.
Here.
Paul Hinch.
Here.
John Johnson.
Here.
Grant Westerson.
Here.
Parker Wise.
Here.
Tom Patton.
Here.
Don Frost.
Here.
Dave Perillo.
Here.
Felix Reyes.
Present.
Tom Gill.
Here.
Mark Rolfe. Alexandra Dahm. John Flores. And Judy Scheifel. Okay, with 11 present, we have a quorum. Call the meeting to order, and we'll move on to item number 2, which is public comment. Andrew, please open the line. And if you are here to speak from the public, please announce yourself now.
Sure, the line is open. I will remind folks on the public line to please press star 6 to unmute your line. And then identify yourself if you would like to speak. Again, that is star 6 to unmute your line. And then please announce your name if you would like to speak.
Kevin Blacker, I'd like to speak.
Yep, go right ahead, Mr. Blacker.
So at the Finance Committee meeting 1 week ago, David Corus said that this project is not, that the project that states here is not subject to inflationary pressure. Here we are a week later with the additional $20 million being sought from the Bond Commission on the 26th of May. The project, price of the project currently estimated at $255.5 million. The truth is pretty plain to see. The truth is clear. David Corus lied last meeting. The project is subject to inflationary pressure, largely due to acceleration. You guys have to get acceleration in order to meet your timeline. That opens you wide up to all of the pressures, all the inflationary pressure. The public was initially told the project was going to be $93 million. We were then told it was going to be $157 million, at which point we were locked in on Costa Diamantis' word to cover all overruns. The project went to $204 million. We were told that's as high as it would go. Then it went to $235.5 million. And we were assured that was it, that you weren't going to need any more money. Here we are, 255.5, and the price is going like a rocket. It's not going to stop. I have to ask to anybody that cares, what is the consequence for lying in Connecticut? Because what I see is there is none. There's no consequence for stupidity, bad judgment, greed, lying, dishonesty. What you guys are doing is so wrong and so dishonest. Eversource is looking to sell their stake in this project because they know offshore wind and this deep pier redevelopment don't make any sense. They're going to cash out before the House of Cards collapsed. At the last meeting, John Johnson, board member, made a comment. Well, has anybody heard from, have we talked to the partners, the Eversource or Gateway? I wouldn't expect we'd hear from Ørsted, which is a clear indication of the quality of relationship you guys have with your partners. At the evidentiary hearing over a year ago, where Driven gained intervener status and participated, Michael Galbrowski of AECOM left his mic on, much to the chagrin of the Attorney General and Port Authority lawyer John Casey, and they tried to get him to stop talking, but he didn't, and he didn't realize that everybody was listening when he said, well, one partner turns out isn't very partnerly, and I'll tell you who it is. It's Orsted. So you're coming to us, the public, asking for another $20 million, and it won't be the last time. I have a hard time believing that the press continues to eat up the lies and the spin that David Corus and the Port Authority endlessly put out. The dollars don't lie. Bad judgment causes costs to go out of control and timelines to be missed. So I just, again and again and again, we'll say what you guys are doing there is wrong. It's bad judgment. It will fail. The project will go to minimal scope. The prices and the cost will continue to rise. And I'll just keep saying it and keep fighting you guys until I guess I'll give up when I win. But that's all I have to say.
Great. Thank you for your thoughts. Anyone else from the public wish to speak at this time? Any other members of the public wish to speak at this time? Moving on to the next item on the agenda, item 3, which will be a brief update on the State Pier Infrastructure Improvement Project. Before I hand it over to Marlon from AECOM, who's going to go into a little greater detail, I just want to share a couple things. We had some really good tours of the site this past week on Thursday, which was not reported. We had a meeting of the Council of Governments where multiple First Select people and mayors from the region came and toured the site, really productive and positive conversation. Everyone was really excited to see the progress. And then, as was widely reported on Friday, we had a delegation from both Congressman Courtney, the governor, Mayor Passero, Senator Blumenthal, Senator Murphy, and at Congressman Courtney's behest, a visit from the U.S. Department of Energy Secretary Granholm. Great visit, great discussion, and again, everyone was really impressed by the progress. Marlon will go into a bit greater detail on the progress and the types of activities that are taking place now. We've moved into some concrete pouring and making great progress on pile installation. The one thing that I'll say, just in response to some of the comments, you know, we keep hearing this concept of minimal scope, and folks may recall that was something that was in the HDA appropriately designed to control for a worst-case scenario. What if permits were not received? What if funding was not secured in the full extent necessary to complete the project? And so minimal scope was a concept in the HDA that was designed to create an alternative should those instances play out. They haven't played out. We have our funding. We have our permits. And folks might recall that when we executed an amendment to the Harbor Development Agreement as approved by this board, I think about a year ago now, the concept of minimal scope was removed from the Harbor Development Agreement. So that concept no longer exists in any agreements. And I think, as is clearly evidenced by the progress at the site, we're constructing the project in full. So with that, Marlon, I'd invite you to provide additional detail on the types of activities that are taking place at the site today and, percent completion on various items.
Hey, David, if I might, this is Mark Rolf. I missed the roll call. Joined just before public comment, so just wanted to.
Cheers. Thanks. Thanks for letting me know.
Thank you. And good afternoon, board. Construction activity continues at each of the four major work fronts, including the upland, the northeast bulkhead or combi wall area, plus a heavy lift platform, the central wharf and the adjacent south wall, and the state pier tow wall and heavy lift platform. During the month of May, one significant interim milestone was achieved, which was the demolition and removal of the retaining walls and foundations for the previously existing bridge at 8th Street. That demolition work further clears the terminal site for follow-on site grading, the commencement of stormwater, water line, and electrical infrastructure, as well as the balance of the available on-site earthwork or material for the embankment or fill at Central Wharf. Key activities at the northeast heavy lift platform include welding of the shear rings into our pipe piles, installation of rock sockets, which you may recall previous conversation is to address the higher than anticipated subsurface rock elevation while at the same time achieving the required heavy lift loading capacity. Forming, rebar installation, concrete placement for the initial northeast combi wall segments and the subsequent heavy lift platform pipe pile rows. So the key is that the earth, the upland works, kind of often called the enabling works, are being completed, therefore allowing the subsequent new infrastructure elements to proceed. And the other critical piece, the northeast heavy lift platform, for those that have been on site, that the myriad of pipe piles to create the heavy lift platform and the large combi wall in front, which will, in essence, create the connection between the vessel as it comes ashore with the ability to unload at the heavy lift platform. Moving over to the central wharf, fill placement, or the embankment as we call it, is nearing 85% completion, with vibro compaction continuing to follow behind it in a north to south arrangement. So we're working our way out towards the south wall, which is why you see that the area fill becoming minimal, while at the same time allowing the water to continue to flow out through the appropriate turbidity currents, etc., while we aim to finish that embankment during the balance of the summer. At the state pier, the tow wall, probing to identify and remove obstructions continue. Again, if you're on site, you would notice that the pile driving template will be set in the coming week, and pipe pile driving and sheet pile installation is slated to commence following the Memorial Day holiday. The adjacent heavy lift platform works are continuing to remove the underlying riprap. We are setting it aside such that, again, the pile driving template has been placed. Installation of the initial rows of pipe piles has commenced. And that state pier heavy lift platform, the initial 3 to 4 piles are set, and a total of 180 piles overall are to be driven. And that state pier heavy lift platform currently represents the critical path for timely completion of the project. Collectively, during the month of April, a value of approximately $10 million was installed, or what we in the industry called work in place at the state pier was achieved. For each of the continuing summer months, the project team anticipates a similar or larger value of work in place will be achieved by the construction manager and the trade contractors, thereby setting the stage for achieving the schedule dates that we'll be discussing as the balance of the meeting. That ends the construction update for the month of May. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Marlon. Before we get into the amendment that we will be discussing shortly, does anyone have any questions for Marlon related to ongoing and recent construction activities at the site, progress against different scopes of work, et cetera? Okay. Hearing none, we will move on to our next agenda item, which is our first action item of the day, item 4, which is consideration and approval of a resolution authorizing the executive director to negotiate and enter into a 6th amendment to the certain construction manager at risk agreement with Kiewit Infrastructure Company. I'm going to give a high-level overview of what we're all looking at today, and then hand it over to Ulysses, who in his first meeting as interim executive director will describe it in a bit further detail, and then Marlon will come in to give any level of detail that members of the board request regarding the scopes of work in this amendment. At the high level, though, I want to talk kind of about overall project cost and project budget and differentiate between those terms. There's been some reporting since the budget, the state budget, was adopted earlier this month, and now the bond commission agenda for this coming Thursday was released last week about a quote-unquote increased project cost. The legislature, in their budget adopted this spring, allocated an additional $20 million for State Pier. The bond commission, at its meeting this week, will take up for consideration the allocation of those funds. Some people have added that to previously discussed project costs and assumed that that is the new number. I want to explain a little bit, hopefully clearly, though, why the number today is completely 100% consistent with the number that we've been discussing for the last couple months. So about 2 months ago, almost exactly 2 months ago, at our meeting on March, I believe it was 22nd, we discussed the likely cost associated with delay and acceleration. And you'll recall at that time, we announced definitively that the costs associated with delay for the permit challenges that took place was going to be $6.8 million, and that was above the previously announced project cost of $235 million. In addition to that 6.8, on March 22nd, we described that there would be a need to accelerate certain activities in order to deliver the project sooner than would occur from a day-to-day delay associated with the delayed issuance of permits. At that time, and as was reported, I said that we thought that the order of magnitude of the cost of acceleration would be comparable to the cost of delay. Fast forward a couple weeks, and we had a special meeting to take up the contract amendment to cover delay. Now, board members will likely recall, and members of the public listening in will hopefully recall as well, that at that board meeting, the fifth amendment, which was approved and executed at that time, was for $5.8 million. And we explained at that time that we were not contracting the full $6.8 because $1 million of the $6.8 was so intertwined in the negotiations around acceleration that it would have been premature to execute it at that time and then subsequently have to change it at our next meeting. And so the 5.8 of the 6.8 was executed at that time. We are now coming before you with the result of our acceleration negotiations, which will result on in a substantial completion of the facility on February 28th of 2023, about 9 months from today. So let me break down what you have in your Amendment 6 before you in just big bucket terms, because I think it's important to tie these numbers back to previous conversations. One of the line items in here is related to an extension of security services, janitorial services, photography, bull gang, etc., and that is approximately $540,000. that is the equivalent of the million of delay that we did not do at our last meeting because we knew that number would change. And so because of acceleration, that $1 million is now close to $500,000. And so the total cost of delay then is reduced from the anticipated 6.8 to approximately 6.3. Another element of this amendment, which you see in the board members will see in the first line on table one on page one of the recommendation letter from our construction administrator, is the cost of acceleration. And that cost of acceleration includes additional hours, additional crews, everything necessary to expedite certain components of the work so that they are finished more quickly. And one element of that is actually a steel purchase because we had some variance between anticipated depths and depth of pile driving at the northeast bulkhead, which we are extrapolating from to make assumptions about additional steel that might be needed at State Pier. We are ordering it, preemptively in case it is needed. And because if we waited to order it, if it is needed later this summer, the time of arrival would be too late and would offset and undermine our efforts at acceleration. And so what you see in item one there is approximately $1 million for steel purchase that, if unused, will be an asset of the authorities to sell for other projects. But if used, if necessary, will allow us to maintain our time frame. And then $5.3 million in other costs associated with acceleration, additional hours, overtime, et cetera. So whether in your mind you want to keep those numbers together as acceleration as 6.3 million or 5.3 and 1, it doesn't really matter. At 6.3 million, I can say that it is completely consistent with what we announced 2 months ago and what we discussed a month ago. The cost of acceleration is comparable and in fact, almost identical to the ultimate cost of delay. What is new information that we have not discussed previously are items 3 and 4 in this amendment, which are the cost of additional steel and installation associated with the depths at the northeast bulkhead being different than what was anticipated. And so that $1.5 million is essentially a change order associated with the cost of driving piles deeper or augmenting them because they could not be driven as deep as was anticipated from the construction drawings. So all total, this amendment is for $8.4 million. And for folks kind of keeping track, I want to run through just the high-level numbers. So this $8.5 million or $8.4 million, in addition to all of the previous executed contracts and amendments, brings our GMP with Kiewit to a total of just over $185 million. At our next meeting, our regular meeting on June 21st, we will execute the final notice to proceed, which is for the dredge work, which has already been bid and has an accepted price, and that will be rolled into the final GMP, which is an additional approximately $32 million, which brings us to a GMP of approximately $217 million, which compared to our target GMP of $204 million, is over by approximately $13 million which is the combined total of the costs associated with delay and acceleration. None of this has anything to do with inflation. None of this has anything to do with rising costs for material or labor. All of our rates and material prices were baked in. This is the cost of keeping our contractor working for longer than anticipated because permits were delayed, partially and largely due to challenges, and the additional costs associated with additional work hours to make up some of that delay so that the facility could achieve substantial completion the end of February 2023 in time for our partners at Ørsted and Eversource to utilize the facility for the installation of their first farm, South Fork, which has already begun offshore foundation construction. To give a complete picture, that 217 GMP needs to be 217 million GMP needs to be added to our soft costs. We currently have encumbered soft costs totaling 27 million, which brings the project to a total of 244, and anticipated soft costs of approximately 6 million, which brings us to a total project cost of approximately 250 million. Which is completely consistent with everything we've been saying for the last couple months. In the legislative authorization of an additional $20 million and our anticipated bond commission action later this week of an additional $20 million, that would bring our available funds to $255, which gives us some additional resources available to serve as an owner's contingency in case additional unforeseen conditions or costs arise, which is possible, which I will remind folks is in addition to the contingency baked into our contract with Kiewit, which was $11 million, approximately $4 million of which has been expended at this point. So the $255 million is, and pending bond commission approval, our total fund availability, but our total project cost today remains at approximately $250. That hopefully is a clear high level overview of money encumbered and contracted today, money anticipated in project cost, and available funding and differentiation between those dollar amounts that hopefully everyone will understand. Certainly happy to answer any questions about any of that, but I'll ask board members to just hold their questions until after I allow Ulysses an opportunity to go into a little bit greater detail, and then Marlin as well, and then we'll happy to answer any and all questions that folks have. Ulysses?
Thank you so much there, David. Good afternoon, everyone. I know it's been only a month since I've been on board, but it's been enough time to assess and appreciate the outstanding team of professionals you have assembled for the State Pier Project. From talented CPA staff to construction administrator AACOM to construction manager Kiewit and partners like Ørsted, Eversource, and Gateway. It has also been enough time to realize the magnitude of momentum this organization and project have both achieved, which was resoundingly confirmed recently by the mayor of New London, the commissioner of Connecticut DEP, two United States senators, Congressman Courtney, the governor of the state of Connecticut, and the U.S. Secretary of Energy. This afternoon, I come to ask for your authority to take advantage of what has been achieved to date and accelerate the State Pier Project by approving Amendment Number 6, which includes Change Order Number 4, so we can bring this infrastructure project in by substantial completion date of February 28, 2023. Consistent with the ongoing infrastructure improvements at State Pier, an early work GMP amendment number 6 is recommended for your approval to incorporate CMR change order number 4 into the CMR contract. The total cost of this amendment and change order number 4 is $8,401,662. The majority of this cost, which is $6,331,772, is to facilitate acceleration of specific construction activities by CMR, specifically as it relates to the State Pier heavy lift platforms, pipe piles, concrete beams, and concrete deck, which Construction Administrator Marlon Peterson will elaborate in just a few minutes. Acceleration is essential in order for us to achieve substantial completion of the project no later than February 28, consistent with the amended harbor development agreement that the board will consider at its next item of business. You might ask, what is the real benefit of acceleration? Well, implementing acceleration to no later than February 28 will enable us to achieve the seminal milestone of commencing terminal operations immediately thereafter in March 2023. Following substantial completion of construction and terminal operations, offshore wind components are scheduled to begin arrival at State Pier in April 2023, with subsequent staging and pre-assembly services occurring in May 2023, and the initial handling and transport of components for offshore wind turbine generator installation in June of 2023. Moreover, based on this schedule, State Pier will be the staging port for the next 3 utility-scale offshore wind farms in the United States, including South Fork, Revolution Wind, and Sunrise Wind, which collectively will generate, according to publicly available data, enough wind power and clean energy to power more than 1 million homes. The 3 other items within change order number 4 are associated with miscellaneous acceleration scope of work changes. For instance, several CMR services are duration or time dependent, such as monthly costs to provide services associated with temporary guard booths, site security, janitorial services, progress photos, and bull game. The total cost of time-dependent services is $539,318, and the other 2 miscellaneous changes pertain to field conditions due to higher than anticipated rock elevations at the northeast platform. 4 rock sockets are required. Previously agreed upon contract rates for the rock sockets have been used, generating a subtotal of $456,000, and building from the board's previously approved amendment number 5 that addressed material costs only, the installation costs for the welding of new shear rings within each of the northeast platform's 30-inch diameter pipe piles result in a subtotal cost of $1 million. The requirement to install these shear rings is also the result of higher than expected rock elevations. Again, our construction administrator will delve into this in greater detail. In summary, however, we are requesting your authority to award the Early Works GMP Amendment Number 6 for the specified acceleration and 3 miscellaneous changes to the construction works for a not to exceed value of $401,662. Thank you so much for your consideration, and let me now turn this over to AECOM Construction Administrator Marlon Peterson. Marlon?
Thank you, Ulysses, and I'll try and wrap up quickly since the two previous conversations have covered a great deal of the material. Nonetheless, during the past several months, CPA staff, together with the construction administrator, focused their efforts on the key elements necessary to achieve that substantial completion, as talked about, by February of 2023, so that we'd be consistent with the planned harbor development agreement. For background, on a monthly basis, the construction administrator reviews the CMR and trade contractor overall schedules. Back in February 4th and March 5th, the CMR progress schedules indicated a substantial completion date of April 10th and a final acceptance of July 10th. Those two dates, as we've talked about in previous amendments, were consistent with the 7.5-month delay generated from the permit approvals, which have been discussed previously. So in essence, we were trying to make sure we could pull the schedule back anywhere between 6 to 8 weeks, thereby allowing the activities, operations-related activities in March, April, May, as just discussed. Several meetings were conducted between the CPA, the CA, and the CMR as an effort to drive back to February 28th. As indicated, the state pier is the critical path, and the key components to that state pier are the tow wall, the heavy lift pipe pile platform, and pouring of the concrete beams and slabs. We, together with the CMR, we looked at ways of accelerating activities from June, starting next month, June 2022, and continuing through September. What acceleration means specifically for each of those three, four work activities is increasing the workforce from a standard 5-day-a-week, 40-hour period to 5 days at 10 hours plus a Saturday at 10 hours. So going from 4 40-hour work weeks to 6 60-hour work weeks. We will target those key elements, as just mentioned, pile driving and concrete placement for the piles and the decks during the 4 months, such that come October and then continuing through the balance of the winter, the crews would revert to a standard 5-day, 40-hour week period. The prices as submitted by the CMR were reviewed and assessed, again, by the CPA and CA team. They were adjusted to be consistent with the rates that we had previously done over the last several months on the equitable adjustment, and that is why the parties reached agreement on the revised total value of $6.3 million for acceleration, as previously discussed. The key for all of this, from the construction administrator to the CPA, is we also wanted to understand the timing for those improvements. And so in our recommendation, we highlight to you, and the purpose of the special meeting today is we want to ensure that as the state pier pile driving commences, we implement acceleration concurrently. So in essence, from a monthly perspective, 35% of the value of that acceleration will be expended, or is targeted to be expended in June, 33% in July, 12% in the months of August and September, and then a smaller value, only 4 or 2% in October, November, December, and that pertains to office relocations, additional temporary office relocation to accommodate not only the on-site works, but also the introduction of the terminal operators workforce. So the point of all of this is we have now negotiated an effective acceleration cost for the key activities associated with the critical path. We as the CA, together with the CPA and the CMR for that matter, will be monitoring and managing those activities literally over the next 3 to 4 months, June through September, to put us on track to complete by the end of February. There will still be other issues, either obstructions or impediments or changes that'll surface as construction projects do, and we look forward to continuing to resolve them in an effective manner with both our engineer of record and the CMR. So we have a game plan. We've negotiated the equitable adjustment. We have now proposed to you an acceleration plan that puts us on schedule to achieve that end of February 28th date. So we're recommending to the port and to you, the board, that we now have a plan in place, and we're asking for your approval to collectively with the CMR implement it. Any questions?
Great. Thank you, Marlon. Thank you, Ulysses. Board members, please ask away, dive into any aspect of this that you need more information on or clarification.
So just to confirm the soft costs, on this increase, the soft costs will be about $33 million. Is that, did I record that properly?
Yeah, so that's where the soft costs currently are. You'll recall they were originally budgeted around 31, and then there was an increase associated with the Army Corps mitigation payment, which we weren't expecting because we thought that the credit from the DEEP payment would fully offset, and instead it only partially offset the Army Corps payment. And then there was a slight increase related to the CA expenses, which puts us about 33, but we're also continuing to look at some of those and try and hone them. So I think, as I mentioned, 27 of that 33 is encumbered, and we're right. Still massaging the rest. I don't expect it to come down significantly, but we're doing our best to kind of, you know, chip away at it where possible.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions or comments on acceleration, on the totals, on the relationship between budget versus cost?
Hey, David, this is Mark.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question. I think it was a meeting or two ago. We talked about an available balance in the contractor contingency line item?
Yes. Yes.
Can we get an update on that?
Yeah, that remains at about $7 million of the 11.
Okay, so that is a bit
correct?
That is correct, yes.
So that amount is still available to the project?
Correct.
If needed?
Correct. Okay.
All right.
And now, pending tomorrow's bond, or Thursday's bond commission approval, with the additional tranche of funding approved by the legislature, we have another several million contingency, owner's contingency, in addition to that.
And that could be needed for, as you said, obstructions or unknown conditions that, you know, we've yet to experience. Right?
Correct.
We need a little bit of a cushion there.
Correct.
Okay. Next question. So we have a new substantial completion date, February 28 of 2023. Presumably Kiewit's in agreement with that. So we have an amount, we have a new completion date, and that's going to be written into a change order. And will the change order be all-inclusive? And by that, I mean Kiewit can't come back and get another bite out of the apple for things that have already happened, right? This is it.
Yeah, Marlon, I'll let you address the mechanics of that if you're okay doing so.
Yeah. Yes, this is consistent with the discussions, not only on terms of price, but also on date. So substantial completion by February 28th. They will then have a punch list and any other final construction items to complete. It'd be off-site by April 10th, and then final acceptance June 1st. So March 1st, April 10th, and June 1st. Yes, the CMR has agreed to that. And again, the acceleration is for these key items, the balance of the work, is consistent with the completion dates just mentioned. And as long as we can effectively manage what people like to now call the unknown unknowns, that is, that's our goal as we continue to plan and hopefully not use the entire CMR contingency. But that will be the first to address any issues, followed by the owner's contingency. But hopefully both will be addressed in an effective manner, and we'll all be sitting here at the end of February successfully achieving substantial completion of the project.
So, Marlon,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to follow up, John. Those dates will be written into the change order?
Those dates are written into Amendment Number 6, correct.
And will you also write the cost agreement with Kiewit should be complete resolution of all known occurrences prior to the date of, you know, whatever the effect date of the change order is? Right? Going back to, this is the only bite of the apple they're going to get. They can't go back and say, oh, I didn't know about this acceleration cost or that acceleration cost, or if it extends further than, you know, the time periods that you allotted for, you know, the pile driving work, say, for example. It takes longer than the 4 to 4 weeks you specified. Kiewit can't come back and claim, oh, you owe me more money.
I'm trying to think of the right way to write that. It is a date in our Amendment 6. We do continue to have liquidated damages, and those are consistent with the April 10th date. So we still have the requirement for the CMR to complete the works consistent with the original CMR contract. If it is their issue, their lack of productivity, then yes, that is their responsibility. If it is influenced by something that is unknown, then it is our responsibility. So I think we agree with what you're saying, and I believe that's the way the amendment is written. That if it's the CMRs, it's theirs, and if it's not, if it's unrelated to the CMR activity, then it is an owner issue, and that's how we've managed the last, you know, the first year of the contract, and we'll be managing the next 9 months to get us to completion. Does that answer your question or address your concern?
Marlon, let me ask Mark's question a little bit differently, because I think that answers part of it, and Mark, correct me if this is wrong, but so that makes sense going forward in terms of the differentiation between what they would have to be responsible for versus what might come out of an owner's contingency. But I think the other part of Mark's question is there clarity that we're sort of closing the book on everything that's occurred or been discovered to date? And yes, we have this process going forward, but there's no further discussion on anything that has occurred or been expended to today.
Correct. And again, that was the purpose of doing the equitable adjustment, bringing it, taking care of the delay to date, and then subsequently doing the acceleration so that they both are achieved and closed with these agreements with the substantial completion date of February 28th. So all else up to date is addressed, and we now need to effectively manage the process going forward. I think that's where you're going, Mark. If not, let me know.
It is, but I was looking to put a bow on the package. So there's a couple of different ways to accomplish that. Either you could write a release where Kiewit signs off. Yes, I agree that there's no look back here. This is complete settlement for all known issues to this point in time. Or you could put language to that effect within the change order, and again, Kiewit would accept the change order. I just want to make sure the book is closed here, and we're not going to be revisiting old issues, or it's not what we thought it was going to be, and we want a reopener. You know, it should be, this is the deal.
All right, that was not in the draft document, so we will draft that and have that discussion with the CMR and report back to you. As noted, our goal is to have a final GMP at the next board meeting in June, so we can report to you at that time, if not before.
Okay, thank you.
And to follow up with a little bit with Mark, is there a contingency, is weather part of your estimating for the acceleration? Because we do get, as we know, this period of time is going to be hurricane season. Has weather been a part of the discussions of the acceleration costs and a contingency for a shutdown during high winds or whatever?
Weather is a element that has a contractual mechanism that we've been tracking, and that particular reason is one of the keys for why we are plan to accelerate in the most advantageous months, so
yeah,
that we can get that work done,
uh-huh,
and therefore set us up for the in case things do happen in the September October timeframe associated with hurricanes, etc. But it is a contractual mechanism that we do monitor on a weekly and monthly basis on the number of planned outage days versus actual. And then it is addressed appropriately in the contract. So simply, yes, weather has been accommodated. And quite frankly, we hope for unfortunate for everyone, we want a very dry
yeah,
summer,
yeah,
so we can maximize productivity.
Yeah, I think we would not like to have weather be a reason to come back to us for an adjustment. I'm glad to hear that you've already taken that into consideration.
There's a certain number of days per month, and then those aggregate per year. So, again, those are based on historical averages. It would have to be a fairly substantial set of inclement weather for us to have to come back to you. So, to date,
it has not been
an overly difficult period weather-wise. We did have, of course, a number of snowstorms that did add up, but we are still on the plus side, or on the good side of what we had written into the contract.
Good. Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Okay, I'm going to read the resolution, entertain a motion and second, and if there are further questions or discussion at that time, we certainly will still enable it. Resolved that the Executive Director be and hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority, hereinafter referred to as the Authority, to negotiate, execute, and enter into a Sixth Amendment to that certain construction manager at risk, early work, guaranteed maximum price agreement with Kiewit Infrastructure Company, in connection with construction activities at the State Pier for the services and amounts as substantially described in the exhibits to agenda item number 4, and to take such reasonable and necessary actions that the Executive Director deems to be in the best interest of the Authority to execute and deliver any and all other reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof. And before I request a motion, I will just remind folks the total value of this amendment is $8,401,662, which brings the total contracted amount with Kiewit for the original contract and the subsequent amendments to $185,350,425.76. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, David.
Moved by Jennifer.
I'll second that, David.
Seconded by Grant. Any further discussion, questions, comments? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you all. Next item on the agenda, consideration and approval of a resolution authorizing the Executive Director to enter into a third amendment to that certain harbor development agreement by and among Northeast Offshore LLC, Gateway New London LLC, and Connecticut Port Authority. So you all have before you a third amendment And I will describe for you all and for the public the two changes that this amendment will make to the HDA. The most substantive change, and the reason this amendment is coming before us simultaneous to the contract amendment with Kiewit at this special meeting, is that this amendment adjusts the milestone schedule, which changes the it changes the execution of the final GMP to occur no later than July 15th. We expect to bring that before you at our regular meeting on June 21st and have it approved that day. And it moves the substantial completion date to March 1st, completed by February 28th, with a secondary substantial completion for some additional items at April 10th, which do not impede our partners moving onto the site March 1st and beginning to utilize it, with a final acceptance on June 1st. That is the most substantive change to the HDA as it regards to schedule. And the other change is adding in a series of new sections that refer to the various requirements and statutes related to the State Contracting Standards Board, which we are now subject to. So you'll all recall that the legislature placed us under the purview of the State Contracting Standards Board as of last July 1st, 2021. We have been working with that board closely, updating policies and procedures, as you're all well aware, and now are in accordance with their requirements. This is the first time we're amending this agreement since that time, and so we are incorporating into this agreement all the various aspects of State Contracting Standards Board requirements and oversight to ensure that our partners are fully aware. And so, in summary, again, two major changes here: incorporation of the new milestone dates, final GMP by July 15th, substantial completion by March 1st, 2023, final acceptance of the site by June 1st, and then the incorporation of the various elements referring back to State Contracting Standards Board. Ulysses, anything you would like to add to that before I read the resolution?
You have outlined it perfectly in this third amendment. As you indicated, to the Harbor Development Agreement, the HDA Schedule 2 is being aligned with the project's milestone delivery schedule, as you outlined. Yes.
So I will read a resolution, entertain a motion and second, and then we can have discussion. But to move it along, I'll start with this. Resolved that the executive director be and hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority, here and after referred to as the authority, to negotiate and enter into a third amendment to the Harbor Development Agreement by and among the authority, Gateway New London LLC, and Northeast Offshore LLC, in substantially the form attached here to as the exhibit to agenda item number 5, and to take such reasonable and necessary actions and negotiate, execute, and deliver any and all other reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Parker.
Moved by Parker. Thank you. Is there a second?
Second. Tom Gill.
Second by Tom. Any questions or discussion? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. Motion passes unanimously. Next on the agenda, old business. Any old business that folks would like to bring up at this time?
Hey, this is Felix. Yeah, go right
ahead.
Just a good question. Are we going to continue on the conference line? Has there ever been discussion to switching over to Zoom, or is this the preference of the board? I wasn't sure. I know I brought it up before, but didn't get a clear answer.
Yeah, You know, it's been discussed in the past. I don't know that we've ever sort of taken enough of a kind of straw poll to indicate a preference one way or the other, but I think probably offline we can circulate an email and folks can indicate their interest of phone versus Zoom versus in-person versus some combination thereof. I personally find hybrid to be a bit challenging. There's always kind of some breakdown in the ability of folks in the room and folks online to hear one another, but I'm open to whatever the board prefers. Any other old business? Okay. With that, we'll move on to item 7, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved by John. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Second by Mark. Meeting is adjourned. 1:02. Thank you all, and we look forward to seeing you at our regular meeting on June 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you.